It's a blessing to me and right along with my message tonight. It seems like everything's falling right in place. Even what Brother Pepper said in the beginning of the service, it's not about us, it's all about the Lord. And the title of my message tonight is Life of Dependence. And just referring to some scriptures of how we depend on the Lord and need Him. And I'm going to be reading out of Acts chapter 17 and starting verse 24, if you want to find that. Stand with me, if you will. Good Lord. It says here in Acts 17:24, "And God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things." And let's just look to the Lord. And Father, we love You, praise You, Lord. We're so thankful, God, we have You to lean on, Lord, for strength. God, our guidance and Your help, Lord, each day, Lord, and the small things, the large, Lord, everything we need, God, You're there, Lord. Thankful for Your faithfulness, Your love, Lord. Thank You for Your amazing grace, Lord. Just praise and thank You, Lord. Amen. Thank You. Appreciate You standing and maybe seated. And you see here, Paul is at Athens, and he runs into a lot of people that are idol worshippers there. And so they were, verse 21, "For all the Athens and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you." And Paul knew who he was serving. It wasn't a question of who God was. He knew His God. And just like Pastor said this morning, I think it's in the book Hosea, said God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we don't have that relationship knowing Him, we can know all about Him, but not know Him personally and miss heaven. But I want to know Him in my heart. Said, He made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth. And I want to go, He gives breath and life to all, and He is giver of all things. And I want to turn also to Genesis chapter 2 and 7. And it says here, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So even our breath, the life that we have, the soul that we have that's going to live forever, either in heaven or hell when we live here. But all things is we can contribute it to the Lord, and He is the creator of all things. And so the earth we live on, the air we breathe, our life, everything belongs to God, and we owe it to Him. And we're dependent on Christ for salvation. In Isaiah 43 and 10, says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior." And so I'm thankful, God, even before all these idols popped up in the past, you know, and even yet today, God was God even back then, and He is the Savior, and there is none other besides Him. In Acts 4 and 12, I've referred to this scripture many times. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. It says, For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. So it's only through the name of Jesus that we can receive salvation. We call on him. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So only through Christ can we make it to heaven, to the Father's presence. And we can't come into his presence with sin in our life. He will not allow it in his kingdom. And so we got to go through Jesus, the one that cleanses us from our sins, the only one capable. In Romans 5:15, says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Christ Jesus. And therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. I'm thankful that we have Christ to lean on for our strength, for our salvation. And he was willing to pay that penalty for us. You know, it was a great price to pay. And he never balked at it. He never had a second thought. The reason he came here tells us in John 3:16, he came into the world to save men. And those that believe on him said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And Romans 8:31. It says, what shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And it does me good to realize, you know, that Christ is still concerned about us just as much as he ever was. And he's still praying for us. And it's only if we don't want to make it, we won't. But there's no reason why we can't with his help and his prayer for us. And he's interceding to the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I'm thankful that I'm not the same creature I used to be before he saved me. He gave me a change of heart and a new desire. I got different motives and desires in my life than I had before I was saved, even though it's even way back when I was young and many years ago still. I'm not the same as what I was when he came and saved my soul. In verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And because he was without sin, he was able to pay the penalty for us. And I thank the Lord that he did that. And 1 John 3:5. Says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Thank the Lord for that. I mean, if he had just made one mistake along the way, you know, we would have had no hope. as he would have been guilty like ourselves. One sin could have kept him out of heaven. And we're dependent on Christ for forgiveness. And not a one of us doesn't have something we need forgiveness for. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6 and 12, part of the Lord's Prayer, says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we don't want to hold a grudge. We don't want to hold anything against anyone. If they need forgiveness, we need to be quick to do so. It'll be for our benefit as well as theirs. In Acts 10:43, "To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins." So just a matter of calling on him and asking him, and he will forgive us. In 1 John 1 and 9 tells us the same thing. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. In Colossians 3 and 12, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." So we fulfill those two great commandments, love the Lord and love our neighbor as ourself, then we will be all right. We'll be doing all that he asks us to do. And we are dependent on Christ for healing. Psalms 103 in verse 2. This is a good chapter. It talks about all the benefits of the Lord, but mentions, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. For whosoever, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases." So he doesn't leave any out. He says all of them. And there's nothing too hard for our God. And anything new that comes along, we know sicknesses are mutating and taking on things, makes them harder for the doctors to deal with. But nothing too hard for God. He is. Look at Matthew 8 and verse 16. "And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." So didn't leave any of them out. He healed them all. In Luke 7:21. "And in the same hour he cured many that of their infirmities and plagues and the evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, the gospel is preached unto them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Praise the Lord. There's, like I said, no limits on what he can do for us. If we have a sickness, he can handle it. In James chapter 5, verse 13. Says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Praise the Lord for that. We practiced that this morning service, praying for Lauren. And we're dependent on Christ for growth. We can look at 1 Peter 2 and 2. When we first come to know the Lord, we are just learning, just like a little babe and growing up. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And if you have taste... If so be that ye tasted that the Lord is gracious. And we can grow by his word. We stay in it. It will make us stronger spiritually. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, wise unto salvation. His word is alive, and it's eternal, and it's never going to pass away. I'm thankful that it's always going to be there to help us when we need him. And we can depend on Christ for fellowship. 1 John 1 and 5. This is his message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And we all need that fellowship. We need strength we gain from each other. And encouragement, and you know, we need to continue to pray one for another, as the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And thankful that we are called into that fellowship. He allows us to be a part of his family and know him. And we're dependent on Christ for life. We've already read John 3:16. We can look at John 10:27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And also go to a fun place here, 11 and 25. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the life, the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, and the Son of God, which should come into the world. And thank the Lord that he was that life, that resurrection, and he gives us hope. You know, without him performing that one act of resurrecting after 3 days, you know, we would have no hope. And because he was victorious over death, we also can have victory over it. In John 17 and 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And we are dependent on the Lord for deliverance. We can look at many scriptures. Start at Psalms 32 and 7. So thou art my hiding place, and thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Shelah. And or Selah, how you, everybody pronounce that different. Daniel 3:24. We know the story of the three Hebrew boys that were thrown into the furnace, and it was heated. Very hot, and they were thrown in. The men that threw them in were killed because of the intense heat. In Daniel 3:24, it says, and Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And he answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like to the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth to the midst of the fire, and the princes, and the governors, the captains, the kings, the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their homes shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And we serve the same God, you know, he can deliver us. And we can look at Daniel in the lion's den, and the angel came and closed the lion's mouth and protected him until the king came the next morning, and the king brought him up out, and he was thankful and relieved because of the protecting hand of God. In Acts 12 and 5. We know how Peter was put in prison. There was a prayer made without ceasing. And says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Verse 7 says, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said to him, gird thyself and bind on those sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And then Peter was come to himself, and he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. So it doesn't matter the circumstances. We serve the same God, and just like Brother Pepper said, God's never done us any wrong, and we have no reason to doubt him or fear. and he is that deliverer. Whatever situation we are in, sometimes he takes us through the fire and he's with us, and other times he delivers us and protects us from it. And we depend on Christ for mercy and grace. Psalms 84 and 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's one stipulation there. Those that walk uprightly, if we're doing what he asks us to do, and we're keeping his commandments, then he's not going to withhold any good thing from us. And Proverbs 3:34 says, surely he scorneth the scorner, but he giveth grace to the lowly. In James 4:6, it says, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And so we don't want to get too high of opinion of ourselves and cause ourselves to lose that grace that we need. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So when we're going through things, we have a tendency to get more serious with God and call out on him, and he will not forsake us. He's there for us. Ephesians 2:5. Says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He raised us up together and hath made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, thank God for his grace. We can all look at our lives and think back, you know, the many times that God has been merciful to us. And, you know, we could spend all day just meditating on that. And we have plenty to praise him for, just like our Sunday school lesson talked about this morning, how good God is and deserving of our praise. And Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And just about every day, you know, there's a situation we can come up to. We need the Lord's help. I mean, it's almost never ending, but he's always faithful. Isaiah 26:3 says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And I'm thankful he's the same today, yesterday, forever. I mean, he's always going to be there for us. And so we are very dependent on the Lord. You know, get to thinking about how much he does for us. Just makes you want to praise him that much more, because he is well deserving of all that. After all he has done for us. But turn to Brother Jason. I think he's got something for us.